Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the purity of God as we pick up in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Oh, the mysteries of the depths of God's love that were revealed there on Calvary as Jesus bore your sin and my sin, and as he suffered in our place and took our judgment, we feel like taking the shoes off of our feet whenever we talk about the things of the cross, because truly we are standing there on holy ground as we consider God's great love for fallen man, for you, for me. In the psalm that Jesus was actually quoting when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 22, it goes on to say, why art thou so far from the cry of my roaring? I cry in the day season, and thou hearest not, and in the night thou art silent. But, and in verse 3, he gives the reason for being forsaken, but thou art holy, O thou who inhabits the praises of thy people Israel. Here the prophet speaks of the holiness of God. Your eyes are so pure that you cannot behold evil. You cannot look upon iniquity. Oh, thou art holy, thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. And so the penalty and the result of sin, separation from God, was experienced by the Son, who knew no sin, but God made him to be sin for us, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Oh, I'll tell you, how can a person reject such a fabulous offer that God gives unto man? He takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. Oh, what a glorious thing to realize. He became what we are that we might become what he is. And so the declaration of the prophet concerning God, purity of God, the holiness of God. Now, this brings up an interesting point, you see, because so many times we find ourselves in that position of asking God to condone our iniquity or our sin. Paul said, don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. Don't you realize that if you are using your body for immoral purposes and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, you're actually asking God to condone or to go along and to partake in your iniquity. And yet God is of pure eyes and he can behold evil. He cannot look upon iniquity. And if God forsook his only begotten Son, when the iniquities of the world were laid upon him, it is sheer folly that you, if you think that you can embrace God while doing evil. If a man says he is in the light and walks in darkness, he lies and does not the truth. Be not deceived. Many people are deceived into thinking that they can embrace God and embrace evil and iniquity at the same time. Not so. Come ye apart from them, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. But God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, the prophet has a problem. Lord, you are of pure eyes to behold evil. You cannot look upon iniquity. How come, Lord? You're looking on those who deal treacherously, that is, the Babylonians. And you hold your tongue when the wicked devours the man that is more righteous than he. What the prophet is basically saying is, hey, God, we are bad. I recognize that, but they're worse than we are. Now, I don't understand, Lord, why you would use a nation that is even more corrupt than we are to judge us or to bring judgment on us. I don't understand this. Speaking of the Babylonians, he said, they make men as the fish of the sea, as creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with their hooks, and they catch them in their nets, and they gather them with their drags, and therefore they rejoice and are glad. And then they sacrifice unto their nets and burn incense to their drags, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? God, I don't understand why you would use the Babylonians. They're pagans. They are idolaters. They are like fishermen who, after they have taken a great multitude of fish, they then offer sacrifices to their nets, burn incense to them and all. And they're worshiping the wrong gods. They're not worshiping you. Why would you prosper them? Why would you allow them to have victory? Why would you allow them to have such great spoil? In other words, why would you bless the ungodly and prosper the ungodly? And so the prophet declares, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. He knew that he had, you know, said too much. And yet sometimes, you know, we don't understand God. And sometimes we say things in our emotional fervor where we're sort of challenging God, and then all of a sudden, oh, I've gone too far. Well, I just go up in the tower and sit and wait and see what God has to say to me in reproving me for the things that I've said. Go up in the tower and wait. God, I cried unto you, told you I didn't understand why you weren't working. You said you're working, but I wouldn't understand it, and God, I sure don't understand it. Why would you use the Babylonians? They're more evil than we are. I'm just going to go up and sit in the tower, and I'm going to wait and see what you have to say. And so the Lord answered him, verse 2. And he said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Now notice, he may run that readeth it, not that he that readeth it may run, but he may run that readeth it. That is, write the vision, make it plain, so that when people read it, they will run to share it with others. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Now it's going to happen. It's going to happen in its appointed time. And though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now, the vision for the appointed time is really looking down to the time of the coming of the Messiah. And though it tarry, he said, wait for it, because he will surely come and not tarry. The church has been waiting for Jesus to come for almost 2,000 years of man's time. But we have learned from Einstein that time is relative, and that the faster you go, the more time slows down. Until, as you approach the speed of light, time almost stops. So that if some of you could be appointed as astronauts to travel in interstellar space, and let us say that we were able to develop spaceships that could operate on the magnetic forces of the universe, And they could approach the speed of light and could travel, say, at 185,900 miles per second. And you would get into one of these spaceships and you would take off for Alpha Centauri, the next closest star to our sun. And traveling at this speed, this phenomenal speed, in around 5 years, you would be approaching the planetary system around Alpha Centauri. And having entered into that planetary system and flying by the various planets to determine the possibilities that life forms might exist, you then turn your rocket ship back towards the solar system and the planet Earth, and another 5 years or so, you would be back on the Earth, landing somewhere upon the Earth, Edwards Air Force Base. Though you had only been gone on your calendar, in your spaceship, on your little digital clocks and calendars in your spaceship, you'd only been gone on your calendar for 10 years. By the time you got back to the Earth, because of the relativity of time, you would be looking for familiar landmarks. You'd be looking for Edwards Air Force Base, but you probably would not find it because in the meantime, some 3 million years have transpired upon the Earth. So you'd come back to an Earth that is 3 million years older, where you yourself would only be 10 years older. And you'd find no trace of your wife, your family, or anybody else that was familiar to you. Now that's according to Einstein's theory of the relativity of time. Now, how fast Jesus left, I don't know. How fast he traveled. He said, I'm coming quickly. Now, the earth has transpired and gone through some 2,000 revolutions around the sun since Jesus left. And though the earth is 2,000 years older, of course, it is even ridiculous to speak of Jesus in the term of age because he is from everlasting to everlasting. But in that time, a sense of relativity and so forth, if he, say, left at the speed of light and returns at the speed of light, and as the lightning shineth out of the east to the west, so is the coming of man, so he's coming like lightning. And if he returns at the speed of light, we said, Lord, what took you so long? He said, what do you mean? He's only been gone 10 minutes. Now the prophet is encouraging us to the faithfulness of God's word and God's promise. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak, it will not lie. And though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and will not tarry. Throughout the New Testament, we are encouraged towards patience as we wait for the coming again of Jesus Christ. Peter tells us that in the last days, scoffers would come and they would say, where is the promise of his coming? You say Jesus is coming again, go on. They've been saying that for years. The early church looks for his coming, you know. Since our fathers have fallen asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning. The uniformitarian theory. Everything is going on in a uniform pattern. Nothing has changed. Since our fathers fell asleep, all things are just going on as they were. But Peter said, this they are willingly ignorant of, the flood that destroyed the people in the time of Noah. The great error that is made by the evolutionary theory in the ignoring of the flood as a more plausible explanation of the geological column. But then Peter went on to say, Relativity of time, a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is as a day. Time is relative. We didn't need Einstein to tell us that. The Lord told us that before Einstein ever breathed his first breath. But then Peter went on to say, but God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he's faithful to us. And then he tells you the reason why he is tarried. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Therefore, realize that the delay of the Lord is the salvation of the lost. It's for those who have not yet received. God is so patient. James said, have patience, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Establish your souls. For the husbandman is waiting for the complete fruit of harvest. So we are exhorted to wait, but always being encouraged, it's going to happen. Surely it will come. Behold, his soul which is lifted up, the Lord says, is not upright in him. Again, this thing of pride. Any man whose soul, and of course it was probably directed at Nebuchadnezzar, who was the leader of Babylon when they conquered over the land and fulfilled this prophecy. And then old Nebuchadnezzar lifted up with pride and going around, parading around the city of Babylon, that fabulous city in the one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, enjoying these hanging gardens and all. And the watchers watching from heaven gave a warning to him. And he came to Daniel and said, I had this weird dream, and I want you to tell me what it's all about. I saw this tree, it grew up, and it was mighty, and all the birds were lodging in it. And then someone came and cut the tree down. They said, I heard him say, cut it down, and the tree was cut to the ground. But then new branches began to grow out of the roots. What does it mean, Daniel? And he said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, it's a bad dream. Your enemies are going to rejoice when they hear this, because you have become great. Your kingdom is great and covering the earth. And all of the people have found refuge in your kingdom, but pride has lifted up in your heart. And the watchers from heaven, when they have seen that pride, they've ordered, cut the tree down. And you're going to be cut down. But yet you'll begin to grow again. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, hey man, take it easy. Walk softly before the Lord. Walk carefully. Don't let this pride take over. And for about a year, O Nebuchadnezzar walked softly. And as he was walking in that city of Babylon, looking around, he says, is this not the great Babylon that I have built? And the watchers from heaven said, that's it. Cut him down. And he went insane. And so here is sort of a little warning. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, after this experience of insanity and living with the animals until seven seasons were passed over him, as again his mental faculties were restored to him, he made a very interesting proclamation in which he acknowledges much of what the Lord had already said. He declared, in coming out of this mad state, and at the end of the days, that is of my madness, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me. I became sane again, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all of the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will, in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? And at the same time that my reason returned unto me, for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, extol, and honor the King of heaven, whose works are truth and whose ways judgment. And those, notice, that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Now, before this ever happened in Nebuchadnezzar, Habakkuk had warned in the prophecy, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But then, in contrast, the just shall live by faith. Herein is a glorious truth of God that is proclaimed three times over in the New Testament. The just shall live by faith. Justification through faith in Jesus Christ. Justification through the principle of faith and not of works.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Habakkuk on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Habakkuk 1 through 2 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bring you into a special consciousness of His presence, of His love, of His interest in your life. And may you walk in the consciousness of God's grace and be led by His Spirit. May you come into a new relationship with God. A very personal relationship with God. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Have you ever had a friend who's not a believer and they ask you a question about the Bible and you're thrilled? Finally, they want to know about God, but then you go blank because you can't remember the scripture that would answer their very question? You're not alone. It happens to me all the time, and I think if only I had a quick scripture reference that would help me right then and there, that would be perfect. Well, guess what I found? Pastor Chuck's Old and New Testament study guides are available to download as ebooks instantly to your phone or mobile device. Now, whenever you need to find the meaning to a scripture reference quickly, you can. Pastor Chuck has written great little Bible commentaries to help anyone come to a better understanding of God's Word. To find out more and to read a book preview, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link to download the Old and New Testament study guides by Chuck Smith. Or if you would like to order these books in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673.